over there. We're singing to everybody. All will be happy. Oh, Lord, singing will be over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Lord, everybody will be happy over there. Yes, we're singing, everybody will be happy. Oh, Lord, we're singing, we'll be happy. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praise. Lord, everybody will be happy over there. Church, say amen. Church, say amen again. Isn't it good to know that everybody will be happy over there?
Yes, sir.
Now, that does not mean that we can't be happy over here. I know sometimes we talk about heaven as if we are supposed to walk through life now with our head down, downtrodden and weak and sad. That's not what, when we say everybody will be happy over there, that's still with the expectation that we are happy over here. And I'm excited to be a child of God, and I'm excited to be back with you all tonight. I just think it's a good time, any time that God's people are able to get together. Amen?
Amen.
If you would, please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And I will read to you verses 7, and then we will use that as our launching pad for our message today. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 7, I'll start at verses 6, actually. It says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame, or to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, or another translation says, not a spirit of fear, but gives us of power, love, and sound mind. Or sound discipline. For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and sound mind. Is that in your Bible? All right, from that scripture, I would like to offer you up the title, I Ain't Never Scared. And I just think it's important for us to realize that children of God, we ain't never scared. A few years back, there was a song that artist, and his name was Bone Crusher. And Bone Crusher had a song that was a song that was played often amongst my generation. You played it at the football game. They played it at the basketball game. They even played it at the club. You know, thank Lord, we're not in the club no more. But I remember hearing it in the club. And the song was real simple. The song just simply said, I ain't never scared. And pretty much what he would talk about is that no matter what situation he was in, he was never scared. And as I look at the scripture in 2 Timothy, and I see, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind, it takes me back to that song. And from a spiritual standpoint, I stand flat-footed to tell you I ain't never scared. This morning, we talked about the need for a revival. And we talked about our response when God asked, who should I send? It's here am I, send me. Now, I realize that that is a challenge to all Christians. And I realize that sometimes we struggle to say that. We struggle to say, here am I, send me. And the reason why, in many cases, that we struggle to say, here am I, send me, is because we are afraid. We are scared. And we are scared for a number of reasons. And that's going to be our 3 points. Why are we scared? I'm going to give you 3 reasons, and then I'm going to give you 3 ways to handle that fear. Because what we need is, as we begin to revive ourselves, as we begin to start to feel good about going out into the community and teaching the word of God, once we get on fire for for God. Once we get set and ready to go, we're not already ready yet, but we're getting set. We're priming the pump because we're getting ready to take off. But once we get to the point where we are ready to start this race and we're ready to put our foot on the accelerator, we have to make sure that when we start, we don't start scary. So let's look and see. What makes a person scared? Well, physical and psychological teachers will say that, or psychologists will teach that usually connected to being afraid is anxiety. And what I mean by anxiety is important when I say anxiety, that you don't, I'm not saying just stress. I mean anxiety in the true sense of the word means to be pulled in multiple directions. Let me help you. I just need two brothers to help me. Eric, would you come here? Brother Solomon, if you would come here just for a second, because it's important that you understand truly what anxiety is, because sometimes we use terminology. You get on this side and you get on this side right here, okay? Now, truly, we have to understand what anxiety is, because sometimes we use terms, but we don't truly know what they mean, so we misdefine them, and we don't actually work out of a good definition. But the best physical and illustration I can give you of anxiety is this. Brother Solomon, would you grab this arm? Pull it. Wait, Brother Solomon. He said he ain't scared. Right. Wait. Anxiety is, he has this arm. Eric, you grab this arm. Now, when you pull it, I need my arm. So I don't need y'all. But I want you go in that direction and you go in that direction. Go ahead, brother. Now, this is anxiety. When you look at the word anxious, it's when you're caught up between two things and you don't really know which way to go. And what happens is, when you're caught up in between two things, you begin to be stretched. You begin to be stretched. As a matter of fact, in the slavery days, thank you, brothers. That was good. Eric, you did a good job. I'm just messing. But actually, what they would do in slavery days when they wanted to be real cruel to a slave that was trying to escape, they would sometimes get two horses, tie one arm to one horse, the other arm to the other horse, and then they would send the both horses in opposite directions. And what they would do is, as the horses would pull, before the arms would detach, the body would be called what they call anxious. You follow me? And then eventually, after it was anxious, it would finally give way, and what the horses would do would tear off both of the arms. And that was the way they killed the slave. What I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes we are afraid because we have things in our life that cause us to be anxious. And what's happening is that we are pulled in a number of different directions. We want to serve God, but this right here is holding us back. We want to teach the people at our job about how to move forward, about how to get close to Jesus, but we can't teach them because they saw us acting a fool last week. See, so we got both of these things going on simultaneously. And then what ends up happening is, because of our anxiety, we become paralyzed. So the Bible says, what do we do about anxiety? I think Philippians gives us the best answer. Go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter, I believe it says something like, do not be anxious for what? Anything. But by what? Prayer and supplications. Do what? Make your request be known. So I want to stop there to tell you, when we go to Philippians, it says, don't you let anything make you anxious. But what I love about it is it qualifies what you need to do to remove anxiety. What's the answer? Prayer. Prayer. You trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to tell the Lord, here am I, send me, and I'm struggling with this issue. I'm struggling with this anxiety. I got so many things pulling at me at one time. The first thing that we have to do is submit to God in prayer. and we need to let him know what we need him to get rid of. Now, this is the tricky part. Sometimes we don't want to talk to God in prayer because the things that we need to get rid of, we want to keep. I'm just being honest now. So, but what God says is, or what Paul says in Philippians, the fourth chapter, he says, if you want to be anxious or not be anxious or lose your anxiety, pray to God, let him know what your requests are, and he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. So the first thing, why are we scared? Because we're anxious. But how do we deal with, or how do we handle anxiety? Prayer. But I want you to be really honest when you pray to God. Ask him what you know you need to get rid of. Sometimes we pray around things. And let me tell you, God already knows. I just believe sometimes God wants us to ask. God already knows what it is that is what's troubling me. God already knows what it is that's troubling my life. Or he already knows what's troubling your marriage. He already knows the reason why you're not standing firm and saying, here am I, send me. He knows what that thing is that's keeping you back. He just wants some time for you to ask him to get rid of it or to ask for his help. So the first thing we got is anxiety. But the way we deal with anxiety is prayer. The second thing that allows us to stand and to be afraid is the lack of knowledge. That's just flat out true. Sometimes we don't want to say anything because we don't know anything. Is that, anybody ever been that way? Anybody ever asked you a question or you heard a conversation going? You at work or you at the bowling alley or you at the gym or you at the basketball game or you at the grocery store and you hear people talking about the word of God and you realize that they are all, that their information is flawed. And that what they're saying is wrong, and you know that it's wrong, but because you don't know how to tell them how to do it right, you just shut up. Anybody ever did that? Oh, if you haven't, I have. Right? So sometimes the reason why we can't say, I ain't never scared, is because we have a lack of knowledge. But the good thing is, there is a remedy for that too. Turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and get around the 15th verse. Brother Jones, if you would get that scripture for me and read it the way that you read. You know, Brother Jones reads with a certain passion. I like, he articulates. And I like that. I like that. So would you read 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Brother Jones?
Study. To show myself approved unto God.
Yeah.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
If, you see how he read that? Brother Jones gave you my point before I even said it. You know, he said, study, and he paused. If you want to know how to fix your problem with your lack of knowledge, study. Listen, y'all, we can't expect to know God's word if we don't get into God's word. That's just true. It's not going to come to us through osmosis. We're going to have to study, and we're going to have to study diligently, and we're going to have to work hard to not only read the scripture, but know what God intended, what he was saying, what he said. We need to know the proper context of what the word of God is saying so that we can rightly divide or use correctly the word of truth. Some of us not studying. I know that to be true. How you know, Brother Mason? I was here Wednesday night. And I know that it was 119 people here on Wednesday night. I mean, 119 people here on Sunday morning, and it was 37 people on Wednesday night. That means there was an opportunity for us to be studying the word together and to receive instruction on how to rightly or correctly handle the word, and we missed it. Let me just be honest. I was here at 9 o'clock this morning, and I watched. At 9:50, we probably had about 65 people. And then by the time we got to 10:10, we was at 119. What does that mean? That means there was another opportunity for us to study the word so that we can have the remedy for our fear. And we were not here to study, so we walk out with fear. Now you said, Brother Mason, well, I work. I do this. I do that. I understand all those things. I understand all those things. And I'm not, I know that every time the church building's open, everybody can't make it. That's not the point. The point is that most of us can. Most of us can. Let's not play this game. Most of us can get here on Wednesday night and spend an hour studying the Word of God. Matter of fact, we've been studying forgiveness. A lot of us are struggling with forgiving people, and we could have had the remedy. We could have had the way to forgive if we had just been here on Wednesday. I'm just trying to be honest. See, I don't think that we're going to be ever able to take the gospel out to the people until we're honest with ourselves. So we have opportunities to worship. We have opportunities to learn. And we abandon or we neglect those opportunities, and then we wonder why we walk around scared. We talked about it this weekend, and I'm telling you, you getting ready over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear our schedule for the year 2018. You're going to hear what it is that we plan on doing. You're going to hear opportunities on top of opportunities on top of opportunities for you to serve. You're going to have opportunities on top of opportunity on top of opportunity for you to learn the Word of God. The only thing that we need you to do is get here. Because we're walking down the world. We're walking in this world. We're walking through Nashville every day as shaky Christians. We're hoping nobody asks us about God. I'm trying to tell you what I know. Some of us are looking for opportunities. Most of us are hoping. We're hoping that when people see us, they don't ask us where we worship because we don't know enough to share. But how do you get rid of this lack of knowledge? Study. I don't want to give you nothing that's hard. I want to make sure you understand it all. How do you get rid of anxiety? Pray. How do you get rid of lack of knowledge? Study. This is real common sense stuff, isn't it? That's the what I really love about God. I really love God. Is so, and the word of God is man has made it difficult, but God gives us a very simple recipe in order to serve him. And if we just be honest about what God says, right, and if we be honest with the word, we'll realize that everything we need to please God is right here in his Bible. Every single thing we need to please God is right here in his Bible. And then the last thing, that the reason why we struggle with and we can't walk around the street scared is because we lack faith. And the reason why we lack faith is because we don't put our weight on the right thing. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? Now, what does that mean? I think it's important for you to understand the word substance has a prefix, and the prefix that is used is sub, right? So sub means something that is under, right? Let me help you. A subway is where? Under the city. Y'all know Nashville trying to make one. Ain't no way it's going to happen. Anyway, a subway is under the city, right? A substitute is under the teacher. Y'all follow me? When we say substance, that means that it is what is underneath what we stand on. Amen. See, so what it says, faith is that thing that is underneath what we stand on. Amen. So in order for us to move forward, we have to have, we can't put our weight on it. Let me show you, because faith is important. We really got to understand what he's saying when he says faith is a substance. When God is asking us to put our faith in him, he means put all of our weight on him. Okay? Now, if I sit here right now, when I sit down, I'm going to sit down with confidence. Why? I got faith in this pew. I promise you, I'm not going to take my time. I'm just going to sit. You follow it? Now, when I sit down in the pew, I have confidence that the pew will hold me. You follow me? When we talk about faith, in order for us to have faith, we have to have confidence that God is exactly who he said he is. When we lack confidence in God, it shakes our faith. supposed to step out firm. We step out halfway. See, when you go to sit down, I'm sitting down like this. You see that? Because I'm afraid that this thing won't hold me. But what I'm trying to tell you is, God, all and every piece of evidence that we have, God has always held his people. So it really doesn't make any sense when all of the evidence points that he's strong enough and big enough to hold us for us not to have faith. But we are faithless. And the reason why we are, the evidence of our faith is that we refuse to step out with a full confidence that God will take care of us. Now, I'm going to be honest. That's an insult to God. Because, see, if my wife were to not have faith in me to pay the bills, I would be insulted because I pay the bills. But if she were looking for 100% evidence that I always pay the bill on time, she wouldn't be able to find it. Because there have been times where I didn't pay the bill. You see, there have been times where I remember when I was dating my wife, I was trying to be, you know, big shot and everything, and I had my little apartment, and we were going out. I went to Demas's to go get this nice meal. Demas, that's nice for us. I don't know if y'all think about something else. That was big for us, you know. But I went to Demas's to get this nice meal, and Trevor, you might remember this, and it was Valentine's Day, and I was going to go to, I was going to bring my wife to my apartment with a little gift, and I was going to bring her this nice meal of Demas's. So I got home, I went to Demas's, and I got to my apartment, and when I got to my apartment to set up for the meal, I flipped the light, and nothing came on. I have forgot to pay the bill. Now, I'm out here trying to be Rico Suave, Casanova, with no lights. So what I had to do was, I had to take the meal over her apartment. Because I have forgot to cut the light off. So there is evidence. My wife has some evidence of me not paying the bill. But when it comes to God, we have no evidence that God has done anything but take care of us. So there is no need for us to ever be scary. There is no need for us to ever lack faith. So what am I telling you? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What are you saying, Dr. Mason? I ain't never scared. Why am I not scared? Because I'm the child of God. I'm not scared because I'm going to study his word. I'm not scared because whatever it is that I'm anxious about, I'm going to ask him to remove it of my life. I'm going to pray about it. If you're scared, more than likely you fall in one of those three categories. But the good thing is that God is so good, he'll fix it right away. Amen. He'll fix it right away. No need for you to be scared anymore. Don't be scared anymore about when we get ready, what's going to happen. I'm trying to tell you, all I'm doing right now is I'm setting you up to let you know we're about to start working. And see, the worst thing to do is to go on a battlefield with scary soldiers. I'm just trying to tell you. Yeah, that's the reason why the training in the military is so intense. They train you and hit you with everything because they don't want you to be scared no matter what it is that comes up in front of you. And so that's what we're doing. As we begin to teach, as we begin to work, we're trying to train and get you ready so regardless of what pops up, you're able to do what you need to do. You're able to be confident in the word of God. Let me tell you where the major confidence comes from. The confidence really rests in the fact that Jesus gave his life. He died on the cross. He rose on the third day. And he rose with all power in his hands. That's a good thing. And that's enough to allow us to walk through life with confidence. If you are here and you are not a child of God, I need you to respond to that invitation. What's the invitation? Come to Jesus. Why Jesus? Because he did everything that you need to do. He did it for you already. If you are already a child of God, but you've been walking a little shaky, you've been saying, God ain't a kind of God. He's a deaf. He speaks in definite terms. Mm-hmm. He ain't kind of nice. He ain't kind of loving. He ain't kind of good. He ain't kind of a protector. He not kind of a provider. He's a full-out protector. He's a provider. He is love. So if you kind of serving God, I need you to get yourself to a point where you can say, I am serving. And you can do it right now as we sing the song of invitation.
Come to Jesus.